All right, all right. How are we doing today, everybody? All right, it's awesome. Glad to see you guys here today. We are in our last week of Amped, and it's been a great month. And we are continuing our theme on living a big life for God and not just going halfway. We're going all the way because we believe we serve a God who wants to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And so if you're believing God for little, you're believing God for not enough in your life. And so today, as we really end the series, I want to challenge you. Let's end on a strong note. Because I believe God not just wants us to be here, but also to live in our life, not just to exist. You know, there's a difference between existing and living. You know, some people just exist and they take up space, but God actually wants you to live and to thrive. And so when he comes in and he says, I've come to give you life and give it to the full, he actually meant that. And so the problem we have is getting to that point where actually life is flowing through us and we're actually experiencing that life. Because so many of us have to navigate through difficulties and experiences in our life that hold us back from experiencing that life. And so in our relationship with Christ, we have to ask ourselves, where are we? Is our cup half full or are we overflowing in our life? And so when I think about Jesus and I think about what he really wants for us and what he has for us, it's real simple. In John 3:16, it's a familiar verse. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, not just life here, temporal, but also life eternal. And so when Jesus came in and he actually saved you, he didn't save you just for here. He also had an appointment and a place for you in eternity. And so we're not waiting to heaven to experience life. The goal is for you to start experiencing life now. It is a precursor for what is to come. And so you begin to understand that when you talk about God and his unlimited power, because when God starts something, he plans on finishing it, but you begin to understand that there's no beginning or end to God. And so when we talk about unlimited and everlasting life, it actually means unlimited and everlasting life. It's not going to end. And so it's hard for us to comprehend that because our mind is so small and it is so narrow that we cannot frame our mind around what it means to live eternally. And so when that happens is we only have a mindset and perspective on now, on 60 years, on 70 years, and we don't realize that God is actually doing a work and preparing us for eternity. Sometimes you're asking God to do something in your life now, but he's actually doing something in your life for later. And he's actually getting you ready to actually take up residence in heaven. This is not your home. And so when you begin to realize that, you understand that, you can go through life with a different perspective and know that I'm just passing through. And that I don't have to rely on other people. I don't have to look what other people are doing in their life in order for me to have life myself. And I think that's what happens with us, is that instead of really getting our eyes upon God, what we do is we start getting our eyes on people and we start looking at them and say, well, if they're not experiencing it, maybe I can, or why can't I have what they have? And in reality, God wants to give you life. God wants to give you life. God wants you to experience life. God wants you to have a full life. God has a purpose for you. But our problem is that we get so caught up with who's next to us that we forget who's really we're supposed to be looking at in our life. And if you spend too much time looking this way, you can miss what God has for you in your life. And we know the scripture where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then love your neighbor as yourself. God did it on purpose that way because he said, listen, I want to be first because without you loving me with everything you have inside of you, you cannot properly love your neighbor because you get it out of balance. If I love you and then I try to love God, it is difficult to do properly because it's out of balance. God says, put me first, then I'll teach you how to love someone else. Right. And I'll teach you how to love someone without being codependent upon them. And that's where life comes in. Because if you start to be codependent on them, then you miss out where the real source and the real power of your life comes from, and it's me. And so understand, first of all, you can't hold on to people. Let them go. They're leaving anyway. Understand they're leaving anyway. You could try to hold on to them. You could try to stifle them. You could try to kidnap them and stop them. They're leaving anyway. God has an eternal destination for everyone. And so when we realize that, we can easily, not easier, but we can say, you know what, God, those people are yours. I'm trying to explain this in the right way so you understand it. And so what happens in our life is that God comes in and he has a plan and he has a purpose for us, but he says, listen, I need you to follow me and not worry about what everybody else is doing. Because what everybody else is doing is between me and them. And so what I have is between me and you. And so let's get that first and foremost. I'm the creator. I created them. I have a plan. I have a purpose for them. And they're going anyway. I want you to love them. I want you to be in community with them. But understand, they're mine. One of the things that really helped me in my life was that early on in my ministry, I began to realize that, you know what, this is not about me. It's really about what God wants. And what happens is that you can begin to release people earlier and not try to control what's happening in their life. How many of you be honest and say, you know what, I'm a little bit of a control freak in my life. I like to control, okay? All the women are like, yes, that's me. Okay. But if you look at the women like me, but you know, men have control issues also. And so, but when you look at your life, look at yourself in this perspective. And God gives you that mode to operate in your life where you can control things. I'm not saying that. But when it comes to people's lives and their destinies, it's in God's hands. You've been given an opportunity to be part of what's happening with someone, but ultimately they're God's. And when you can get to that point and give people over to God, your life will be a lot easier. Because you won't take on the responsibility of trying to be their God when God says, I'm their God. Because what we do is that we play God rather than allow God to play God. And we have to really ask God to help us what that looks like. Because you can take on someone else's issues and someone else's projections, and immediately you can start walking in a direction that God doesn't want you to walk in. Because God did not set you up to be their God. He set himself up to be their God. That's why the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God says, listen, it's a personal thing between me and you. I love the fact that you're in community with other people, but the first thing I want you to do is point them to me. And so that's where life begins. And you know what that looks like in your life. And I don't want to go too much into our upcoming series, but in your life, do you have guardrails and boundaries that you set up in your life so that that life can keep flowing through you and you can really experience the life that God has called you to live? Because in reality, all you have is this moment. And when you're talking about life, God wants you to enjoy the moment. Enjoy it. And that means enjoy the difficulties, enjoy the unknown, enjoy the problems, enjoy all of it. We think that God just wants us to enjoy the good times. No, God wants us to enjoy really the tough times and the difficult times, because those are the times that God gets down with us and he does life with us on a deeper level. And those are the times and those are the places that God wants to get in with us. And honestly, they're really the only times that God can really break in with us too. Because we're more dependent upon him and less dependent upon us, because you know, and you've said it before, God, that if you don't do it, there's no way I'm getting out of this. No way. And God allows you to be in that crucible of pain and difficulty for a reason, so that he can come down and do it with you. He knows what it looks like. He knows what it looks like to wrestle with, not my will, but your will be done. He understands what it looks like to grieve. He understands what it looks like to go through difficulties, because if you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was about to go to the cross, and there was such an intense warfare that was taking place that the Bible says that it was like great drops of blood that were sweating from him, because it was that intense, because he was having a wrestling match with God whether or not he was about to go to the cross or not. He said, listen, Lord, if it's your will, take it. But if it's not, nevertheless, your will be done. And we have to get to that point in our life. If you want to experience the life that God has called you to live, you have to get to the point in your life where inevitably you say, Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. And that's a hard place to get to, because that means that your will has to bend to his will. And you have to submit to him, and you have to submit under someone else who knows better than you in your life. But in that process of death, in that process of saying, not my will, but your will be done, guess what happens? Life comes forth. Because always when there's death, life comes in. And so you understand what that looks like. As a Christian, you know that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And so the way you live right now, you live by the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Because you know that it's impossible for you to live it by yourself. If you're a Christian, you know in your own strength, in your own flesh, you cannot be successful. It's impossible. Because it's not about your own talent, your own ability, your own strength, but it's about his strength working through you. And if you have not gotten to that point yet, you will. Because eventually your strength runs out. Eventually you get to a place where you don't know what to do. and you have to turn somewhere. And the great thing about it is that God is there with a big smile on his face saying, here I am. I've been waiting for you. And I've allowed all this stuff to happen in your life so you would come face to face with me, the creator and the real source of life. I've allowed that because this is where we do business together, because the life you've been living right now, it's good. It's eh. But I want to bring you up to another level and another place, but it requires you submitting your will to my will and saying, okay, not my will, but your will be done, because I know what's best for you. I want you to enjoy the moment. What you have for yourself is small in comparison to what I have for you. I've got things that are greater than what you're experiencing right now, but you have to trust me. And that's a tough place to be. Especially when you're trusting God, who is taking you through a course that is foreign to your rational and natural mind. Because you cannot understand the way that God wants to take you. It is hard and it's impossible to do it, because when God does things on another level, a supernatural level, because it's a supernatural work that's bringing supernatural life. And you cannot explain it. It's tough. You just have to trust. But that's where life comes in. Well, what do you mean? I am experiencing life. It's fleeting and it's temporal. You know why? Because you want more of whatever you're doing now. The things that you're trying to fill that void in your life with, it never satisfies. And so what you do is that you continue running back to that, thinking that that's going to fill it, and it does temporarily, but eventually what happens is it runs out and you go back again. I'm talking about the type of life that does not run out, that's everlasting, that continues to come up and bubble up in your life, and that continues to flow out regardless of circumstance, regardless of situations. It just continues to come. That's the river, that's the living water that God has placed inside of you, that God is trying to get to, and God is trying to break that dam down in your life so that that water can actually flow through. That's what he's doing. And so that's why God's going to work. That's why it's hard sometimes. And honestly, you feel like you're dying on the inside. Because in reality, guess what? You are. You're dying to self. Because as you're dying to self, guess what's happening? Life is coming out. There's a fountain in the back of our house. We live in a townhouse, and right out my window, we've got a lake there. Some of you know where that lake is. There's a fountain there that just 24/7, it just spouts out water. It does not stop. It doesn't stop. And I got the picture the other day. That's the life that God wants to give us. Life that does not stop. There's no end to it. And even when you think it's about to run out, it continues to go again. Haven't you been in that situation in your life before where you felt like this is it? I'm at the end. There's no way out. And all of a sudden, there was a little bit of a kick. And all of a sudden, God gave you strength. God gave you the grace that you needed in order to continue to move forward and to go, because it is everlasting life that does not run out. You're serving a God who is so strong and has his foundation is so deep and so sure that nothing that you do or how high you go or how low you try to go, that he's already there below, he's already above, he's already to the side. So there's nothing you can do that will ever be able to separate you from the love of God. The issue is that God wants you to see just how far and how wide and how deep his love actually is for you. And the hard thing is, and the sad thing is that it takes most of us a hard or difficult situation in order to get there, because God says, listen, I want it to be real. Real. Not something you hear about, or not something that you just experienced one time and want it to be real. And so what that means is that you have to become acquainted with him, not only on the suffering level, but also on the victorious level. But in order for me to get to that level of victory, I got to go through that suffering. And you know what that looks like. Especially if you're involved in any sort of extracurricular activity, sports, any type of job, you know that you've had to go through things that you did not want to go through in order to get to the place that you were at in your life right now. Call it you wanted to pay your dues, whatever you had to do, but it was a course design. You had to go through it in order to get to where you wanted to be in your life. It's the same way. There are levels with God. You want to get to a new level in God. God says, well, this is the course. I want that course. I'm not old enough for that course. No, No, you will be when you're done with it. I want to take you through this course because it's going to bring you here. And it's a mind-boggling process, but it's a process worth going through, especially if you want to become more like him and experience the life that he's called you to live. But you've got to enjoy the moment. You've got to be in the moment. And there's nothing wrong with having an eye in the future and looking toward the future. We need to. But as we're moving toward the future, he said, listen, I want you to be in the moment. Move with me because I'm doing something here. Have you ever been in a situation before where it was almost like God gave you a glimpse of what was happening? And you kind of got a reality of really the life that God was actually doing. And he gave you a small snapshot of the grace and the hope and the peace that he actually offers people. He gives you a glimpse of that sometimes. He gives you a glimpse of the fact of just how far you've come. He'll give you a glimpse of his goodness. And then something, what'll happen is he'll go back behind that veil again and he'll start in that process. But sometimes he gives you a glimpse because he wants you to see, I'm here, peekaboo. You need that peekaboo every once in a while. Because sometimes it's hard to see. But when you know that he's there, it causes you to want to continue to move. And so the moment, the hard times, the difficult times, a lot of times you pray to get out, God's trying to get in, but it's the moment. God knows when you need to move on to the next place. God knows when you need to move on to the next part of your season. God knows. There's already a timetable for it. But I believe that we can move through it quickly depending upon our attitude. Man, there are times I've caught myself and said, listen, I don't want to stay here any longer than I have to. I'm good. And you know, God's good in that because he wants to see your response and how you react. Remember the children of Israel? Got it wrong again. Okay. I hate this process, Lord. I want to be back in Egypt. It was so good there. Remember, we were making brick without straw. It was awesome. We were in slavery. It was, Lord, we cried out to you. Thanks for answering us. But I want to go back because we don't see what you're doing. Okay. Keep going. Should be 11 days, right? No, you're going for 40 years. 40 years. Can you imagine that, guys? Just doing this. And the hard part about that process was not everybody was to blame. It was the older generation. And the younger generation had to wait for the older generation to die out. So wonder who's mad at you right now. No, I'm kidding. But think about that process. How God puts us on this course. And it really is, and yes, it's a timetable, but it's your attitude in it. And it doesn't mean we get it right, because it's hard sometimes. And we don't make it. And we fail. And we got to get, God's good. He puts us right back where we need to be. And God's so faithful and he's full of grace that he knows we're human. But you know, if the test keeps coming up, guess what? The teacher wants you to actually take it and pass it. And that's the one thing about God, is that God's not looking to fail you. Man, I really hope they fail us again because I love what they're going through. Love it, man. I just love it. God actually wants you to graduate. It's like a teacher, man, who teaches a classroom and they have a kid in the classroom who repeats that grade 4 and 5 and 6 times. Listen, after the first time, there's some grace. It's like, okay, listen, you didn't get it. After the second time, it gets irritating. You're talking about 3rd and 4th. It's like, listen, you should have been way past it. You're 19 years old in the 5th grade. It is time to go. You think about that? I know, but I'm giving you an example, but way back. But think about your relationship with God, where God's like, I want you to actually move and pass. So that's why I keep giving you this thing. And the great thing is that when you actually pass and you go, it's exciting. It's like, yes, we moved on. Yes, we moved on. Let's celebrate. We can rejoice in it. We can have victory. We can experience life. And God says, all right, on to the next one. And that's the process. But every stage brings it new life. And you're seeing new facets of God, because as that process takes place, we become more and more like Jesus, and all of a sudden, we progress in our faith. Because in reality, when you look at it, guys, it's really not about us anyway. Not about us. He created us, but his plan and his purpose, he has it in mind before we even created. It was about him. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, they've got the scripture up on the board. It says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." He has a good purpose. So anything that is happening in your life right now, guess what? There is something behind it that is causing it to happen. And if you're a Christian, God is acting in you in order to act because he has a plan and a purpose, not only for you, but for mankind. And so oftentimes we're looking for God to do something in our life, but God, we know, has a plan for mankind, for everyone. And so it's not about you. And so when God's doing things in your life and he's moving you around, most of the time it's about something that you're about to experience later in life and you're about to share it with someone else. God wants to do it in you, and then all of a sudden, what does he do? He brings you around other people, and guess what? Share with other people. Because there are people out there who need to know what you've experienced and who need to be a part of what is happening in the kingdom of God, but you have that answer, and you know it as well as I do. How many times in your life have you needed something to break through in your life, and it was God's divine appointment that has sent someone in your life to speak into you? And that was that very thing that kind of encouraged you to get you to the place where you needed to be, because they had gone through it already and they were there to encourage you. So it's not about you. And so when we can learn that really we're not the only people here, that God is actually doing something in other people on the other side of the world, we can rest in the fact that he has a plan for everyone. Everyone, man. And so it's okay. You're going through something right now. It won't be that way all the time. We've talked about it before. There's going to be ebbs and flows, and God will set you up in a mountain. Then all of a sudden, you go back in the valley, but the valley won't be so low. And then God will bring you back up, because there are things that God is doing in different seasons of your life that are necessary always for not just about this journey, but for the life to come. It's not just about here. It's about the life to come. Do you know how short life is? It's like, I know, short. No, do you know how short life is? Go to the hospital. Look at someone who's on their deathbed who's young. And then comparison, look at someone who's older. A lot of times they'll say, listen, I can't believe how fast it went. So what I'm telling you right now is this, is that we need to leave with a sense of urgency. Say, God, use me. Help me to be in the places and be around the people that I need to be in my life right now, because I want to accomplish your purpose here on earth before I die. Shouldn't that be a heart's desire that you have? That God has, that you're not just aimlessly wandering around and be like, well, I think I made it. I think I did it. I mean, I don't know. I did something with my life. And you look back and say, you know what? I really didn't do much. But if we change our perspective and say, God, now, get us to the place and position where we need to be. That is a prayer that God will answer. But are you prepared to go with it? Because many times we're going this way, and all of a sudden God says, that's great, but I'm going to take you this way. So live with a sense of urgency, because you're not promised tomorrow, you are promised today. One of the scriptures that just keeps coming to mind is the fact that, why do you worry about tomorrow? Today has enough problems. That's enough. Be in today. Have a thought process, a mindset to know where God's taking you, because he does that. And say, God, get me to the place where I need to be. But also be prepared to make adjustments in your life, because they will come. God is the master breaker. He is the master molder. And he's the master rebuilder. And he's going to do that in your life in order for you to be the person that he wants you to be, so that you can be effective in the kingdom. Because remember, it's not about you. It's about really reflecting who Jesus is to the world. And so that process in you is necessary for that to take place. And in the meantime, you get him. His goodness, his grace, his peace. And that's good. And so I want you to be excited for the future about what God has for you, because I believe it's good. Because anytime God does something, it's good. It's always good. But we have to get to the point where we see that the process is necessary in order for us to get there. I don't like going to the doctor. Got to go. I don't like always having to go back to things that I thought I kicked in my life. Because I believe that God wants us to finally say, listen, you kicked that, move on. You got that, move on. And I believe that God has brought me to a place, and God wants to bring you to a place to say, listen, you got that? Move on. It's time to move on. The problem is sometimes we linger too long. It's time to move on. Can we all stand to our feet as the band comes up? The grace of God is something that's truly awesome. It's truly awesome. And God will really give you the grace to know when one season is over and a new one has begun in your life. And you'll know. The tough thing about it will be is for you to actually enjoy the moment and the season you're in now because of what you actually came from. Some people have a hard time transitioning from it was a hard season into a season of blessing because of what it took to actually get them there. And so I believe that God will give you the grace to know when that season's over and that it's okay to enjoy this now. It's okay. And that's something that I believe God wants for every believer. Every believer. Life, peace, joy, and hope in your life. Where you actually can start dreaming again, this whole series about that, and being excited about life again. Being excited about it. Actually having anticipation that actually things are going to work out for me because I know that God has spoken it to me and he's been good to me. That's what he wants for us. That's what he wants. How many of you be honest and say, listen, I'm in a season right now where I feel like God's bringing me through some things right now. He's bringing me through some stuff. All right, just be honest. Okay. How many of you say, listen, I just felt like I just got brought through some stuff. I'm raising my hand. I got brought through some stuff in my life. Thanks for the two people. We'll talk later, okay? All right. But listen, it's through it that he wants to bring you. Because as the band begins to play, it is necessary for you to understand something about God in this difficult process that you're not going to get anywhere else. There are times in your life where you feel like, I don't understand what's happening here. I don't really understand this moment or season of my life. I don't get it. And I think God's response is going to be, listen, I'm going to make aspects of it clear to you later, but I need you to trust me now in it because it's really far above what you can try to think about and reason in your mind. It's too difficult, but I need you to trust me. And be thankful that you're here now. Because that means that God has something for you after it. God never allows you to go through something that's hard and difficult that he's not going to use and you're not going to receive blessing from it. That's just not who God is. That's not who he is. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you in this season, really, of you birthing life, is to trust God in the process. Because whether you realize it or not, life is coming. You look different than you did when you first got here. You're walking different than you did 3 months ago. And God will show you that progress. Whether you think things are changing or not, they're changing. Because that's how God does it. He does it behind the scenes, but also gives you a glimpse to show you. I can just, even right now, just sense it. Just the goodness and the beauty of God that he wants to bring in your life from the ashes. But that's who God is. And it's not a weird thing. Especially if you've been through a hardship or a difficulty and you've seen God come through and you've had to wrestle through it and struggle with it and all of a sudden God came through and showed you just how intimate he was in your circumstances, it's not a shameful thing. Now you can say, listen, no, I know God on this level because of that. I would not have known him any other way. And be okay with that and rest in that, in his unconditional love for you, that he trusted you enough to go through it. That he said, Ellen, we're going to walk through it together, and you're going to come out living fully alive, Ellen. You're going to be amped after this thing. Isn't that what you're looking for? Aren't you looking for a little bit more excitement, a little bit more pep in your step? You're walking out to people like, what's up, man? Not scared about what's going to happen and not afraid of, oh, I'm gonna get knocked down again. But no, I passed that already. Man, it was so good when I graduated high school, right? I passed it already, okay? I don't have to go back. I passed it. It was so good. Man, and walk in that in your life. Walk in the fixed part of you. That makes sense. If God's already fixed it, walk in the fixed part. Don't go backwards. There's other stuff God said, but walk in the fixed part, man. Be confident in the fact that He fixed my broken wing. He fixed my leg. He fixed my heart. He fixed my confidence. He fixed it. And I can walk in it. I don't have to walk lame in that area because God actually wants me to be fixed. Yeah, I'm going to struggle. Yeah, there'll be other areas of brokenness in my life, but not to the degree of despair. We're already broken vessels, but listen, but being fixed and healed so that you can stand strong, and then when you talk to people, life is actually coming out because you know who God is. And that you actually have a hope and a future. You don't have to walk backwards anymore. Live life. Live it. Live it. Live it. If you leave here, I don't care. No other words you remember. Live life now to the full. I don't feel like it's working. No, live it. I'm telling you, you start living it and not worrying about it, God will come in and start fixing things. Just don't wait on stuff. Get after it. Live it. Well, when He does this, no, when you do it. I don't feel it. It's okay. I'm still going to worship. I'm in faith still. And guess what happens? All of a sudden, something comes up. Because when you wait, you operate in the broke part of you. I can't do it. I'm telling you. The process in your life will speed up. It will speed up if while you're still broke, you start walking and make like you're fixed and you're whole. Because then God comes in and says, listen, I see their faith. And then He takes the faith and He puts it together with His grace, and all of a sudden, strength comes. And I'm not tilting anymore. I'm actually walking now. Yeah, there's some insecurities, yeah, but don't matter no more because I don't live by my faith anymore. I live by the faith that I have in the Son of God. He's got me. And listen, guess what? He's got you. He's got you. I'm going to close with this. It feels better to be fixed than broke. If you like that, go ahead. It's better to be fixed. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your grace. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. Lord, we thank You for the work that You've done in our life. God, You've already done. God, I pray today for those who are in that just process of becoming more like You, becoming fixed, that You would give them the grace, Lord, to continue to move with You. Thank You, God, for getting in with them, strengthening them. God, I pray that You would help them not to hesitate or to wait, but to run to You. Lord, when they don't feel it, just to do it anyway. Thank You, God, for bringing wholeness in every area of their life. Thank You, God, for giving them the grace, God, to believe You for more. Lord, to wonder again about what it would look like if You did something great in their life. Thank You, God, that You're already doing great things in our life. God, help us to be like kids who have faith in their dads, who have faith in their Heavenly Father, to know that the actual Father that we have in heaven actually is good and wants good things for His kids. And that His kids will actually take Him up on His word and say, yeah, You do, and start living like it. Live like it. Without fear of repercussion, without fear of what might happen, but without a shadow of a doubt that that part of them will be fixed. The part of them that is worrying about what might happen will be gone. And the part of them that says, no, I know who God is and I know what will happen and it's going to be good, is going to remain. Thank you, God, for progress. Thank you, God, for excitement. Thank you for anticipation. God, I pray that people would just start setting records, God, of the Spirit. Just start setting records just with their faith level, God, that you would just start taking them up different levels. Just far beyond what they could actually think in their life. God, even today as they go home and as they leave here, that you would give them a glimpse of how far they've come. God, that you would solidify the parts that have been healed and that they would walk in that part in their life, the fixed part, the healed part, and that they would be a representative to the world, a lost and dying world that knows who you are, and that you would give us the grace, God, to be a representative to them, because we know that time is coming. It's coming short. God, I pray that you would help us to live fully for you and to live now in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen, amen.